The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on Podcast One and streaming on YouTube. YouTube.com/TheUnderdog. You are listening. This is the gambling part of the show. You are listening, as usual, to Sean and Brad. Brad, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, brother. It's December. Mm-hmm. The weather is nice here in Miami. It's fantastic. We have December football. Mm. And is there anything better than that, really?
Yeah, and because in Miami, you don't get January football in Miami, right? It is wonderful, although I'm in Chicago and my windows in my office, my home office here, are drafty. So it's probably about 55 degrees in my office right now, and I forgot to put slippers on before recording this. Like up here, if you're watching on YouTube, up here, this is show ready. Everything below here, I might not even be wearing pants right now. Nobody knows. No, I'm wearing pajamas and then not wearing slippers, so my feet are slowly turning into blocks of ice. But we play hurt.
It is 72 degrees here, and there's still a little bit of humidity in the air.
Beautiful.
It's wild.
Yeah, it is
beautiful.
Florida, I feel like you get December through about February, I think, is for me livable, and then I can't do it. I don't mind the cold. It's just, I don't turn the heater on in my office when we record because of the ambient noise. We don't want to disturb our viewers or listeners.
Yeah, you're the Iceman, man.
I am the Iceman. That's why I grow the beard. Seriously, it's why I grow the beard. It's too damn cold up here. Oh, that, and I have a fat face. I need to hide it. I don't play model volleyball, Brad.
No,
I'm not invited to those games. Like every time, do you even in model volleyball? Let me ask you, Brad. In model volleyball, do you actually even play volleyball, or do you just sit on the beach, glistening, with you and your?
It's funny you say that. Okay,
do some
because
of this. Uh-huh.
My agency. Real quick story for the people out there. My agency, we practiced all week for like 5 days, and I was a captain, right?
And you and the models practiced, okay?
Yeah.
Was it like brooding and sticking your lips out? And what do you practice in model volleyball? Do you actually practice volleyball, or do you practice posing?
Believe it or not, well, both. You know, we practice, and then like tourists would come up to the beach, you know, because we're on Ocean Drive, and they would just take a bunch of pictures of us. It was really trippy, but probably not me. The other ones, right? The real models. All right. So we did practice. All right. So then it came time for the tournament. All right. They put me in for one play. I saw the ball in the air, and I couldn't handle it. I lost my mind, and I went and I raced for it. And I like totally got in the way of this girl from hitting it.
Oh, no.
One play, they took me out. I couldn't handle it. It's too much for me. I lost my mind.
It's too much. And yet you rail on Eli Manning.
I know, you rail on Eli Manning.
You can't handle one play of volleyball. Now, I remember in our softball league, this is before model Brad days. And by the way, I like to bring this up because everybody that sees you instantly hates you.
Correct.
Especially in our YouTube audience, they're just like, who's pretty boy, what's this guy, you know, let's listen to the trained chimp over there with the beard, with the red beard. Let me listen to that.
Infuriates people.
Yeah, the sight of you infuriates people, and that's why in our we were talking about this off air, so we have a new intro song. Well, actually, we just play the beat at the intro, and then at the end of the episode we play the full song, performed by a very talented guy that we found, and we have the lyric, you know, Brad's a washed up model, don't hate that. And I had him because this guy, you know, takes things, and I was like, you know, people crush Brad because he's so pretty. He's so pretty, and they just can't handle it. And so that's where that
just
lyric
like
comes
T.O.,
from.
Baby. Just like T.O., I love haters. Remember when he wore that shirt? That was so epic. I got to find that shirt. That's the best one to ever exist.
Maybe I'll, I got a shirt guy, right? I'll make that. I'll have to find and get that exact thing. was up.
Did you write the lyrics to
No,
that
man,
intro?
this dude's on point. I gotta say, like, I have never spent a better $50 in my life than this guy. 30 seconds, $50. If I want to extend the song, it's like $25 for each additional 30 seconds or that. So I'm actually thinking. So for Functional Sportsaholic, the other podcast I do, and also maybe for some Underdog TV stuff, I'm gonna get some just because I enjoy them so much. And I might do like a full minute for Functional Sportsaholic. I might go back and add another verse to this one because it's just good, man. And so all he did was he's asked me for like 5 or 6 details. He's like, give me 5 or 6 details, and that was one of the details, is that you know, when people see you, when people hear you, they like you. Because, you know, they hear your...
Let's take it easy on that.
No, they do.
Okay,
they do, because you have a likable voice. Of like, if you can't see Brad, then all you hear is this Midwestern, you know, this harsh Wisconsin accent, and you think, oh, this guy's probably the uglier of the two, because I have this smooth, made-for-radio voice. They're thinking, oh, gosh, this poor guy...
Something. Your morning radio voice is quite fantastic.
Yeah, you know what? And it's for years I didn't talk. I was sequestered in my office. So, like, my voice has gotten progressively deeper since I've been doing these podcasts. And now that I'm...
Pre-poop voice is very good.
Yeah, I know. We haven't gotten the morning one out yet. Brad and I record in the mornings. But what are we? We're about 5 minutes in, haven't talked a lick of football.
Nothing.
So Brad and I, once again, you know, we've kind of moved and taken that pick six idea, which was its own podcast. We've basically kind of moved that in during the football season of this because we just have too much content, honestly. So Brad isn't into the analytical daily fantasy stuff as much as I am. And so rather than have him sit there and look pretty for our YouTube audience, and then everybody's like, why is this pretty guy just sitting there pursing his lips out like Kim Kardashian?
Yes.
Like, who is this guy?
I'm a total tool.
There was the tank top week. They're like, who is this guy showing his wolf tattoo off? Brad. He's like, who's wolf guy? He's like sitting there. Is he wearing lip balm? Shiny pursed lips. And then like our YouTube or like our podcast audience is like, oh, gosh. They instantly feel bad for you when they hear your voice.
By the way, when you're not smart and you don't have a whole lot of great attributes, you got to rely on something, right?
I know.
So the lips need to be pursed.
Was it John Lennon, 1 and 1 and 1 is 3, got to be good looking because he's so hard to see. That's about Brad, right?
Beatles quotes. I respect that.
Yeah, Beatles, man. I love the Beatles. They're the best. Brad and I are doing the pick six. Last week in full Brad and Sean fashion in our pick six segments, we only talked about 5 of the 6. I don't know how we've done that twice this season. So maybe this week we'll make it up. We'll talk about 7. This is a show about analytics and math and all that stuff. We can't even count to 6.
We've done that more times than we haven't.
I know. This is what happens when I let the model block out the show. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's all me. That's all my fault. I'm just razzing Brad today.
So
this is what happens in the morning before my full coffee. Okay, so today we're going to be talking briefly about the Baltimore-Cleveland, Buffalo-New England we want to talk about. We want to talk about the Rams versus the 49ers. If we have time, we're going to talk about Saints-Titans because I like that one a little bit, but you know, we'll see how the time goes. We have Dallas versus Philly, Kansas City versus Chicago, and Green Bay versus Minnesota. So I tell you what, you know, since it's Thursday now, there's no point in talking about last week. Let's just talk about the future, Brad. Let's not live in the rearview mirror, as Colin Coward says. Let's drive.
Can I ask you real quick?
Yeah.
Is
go
there
a
game
it.
Tonight? I don't know.
No. Thursday night's done. I actually forgot about that earlier in the week. So we have 3 Saturday games. The Saturday slate, I believe, is Baltimore, Cleveland, Buffalo, New England.
There's Saturday games.
Yeah, there's 3 of them. And I think, for some reason, I have Carolina, Indianapolis written down. I don't know if that's the 3rd one, but I know we get Baltimore, Cleveland, and Buffalo, New England, I believe. So I could be wrong on that because sometimes I write down these games alphabetically as opposed to schedule time and all that. So I apologize to the audience if I'm wrong there. But I know Baltimore, Cleveland's on Saturday for sure. So with that said, Brad, let's talk Baltimore, Cleveland.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Yeah. So Baltimore was -10.5. I'm going to read some baseline numbers for you as I did to the audience earlier in the week when we were talking about analytics. These are crazy stats, Brad. I read some of these off last week, but Baltimore, okay. Not home or road, but Baltimore's just regular average for the season. They score number one offense in the league. They score 33.7 points per game. Now their defense, you remember their defense started a little bit slow. They had Kansas Kansas City Chiefs game early in the year. They got run over by Baltimore or by Cleveland the first time that they played them. Well, since that Marcus Peters trade, they've been getting better and better. Their defense is ranked fourth in the league now, Brad, in points given up at 18.4. Now, let me tell you about how they are on the road, right? So they score 33 at home, and they give up 18.4 for a net, by the way, Brad, of 15.3, best in the league there. Wow. On the road, Brad, they score 37.3. They score more on the road. They give up 16.9. They give up less. The net there is 21 almost.
Wow. Wow.
Insane.
That's wild. That is insane.
Cleveland, meanwhile, they give up 21. I'm sorry, they give up 24. They score 21. So no surprise there. Cleveland's not, you know, what really, unfortunately, the Cleveland Browns fans thought that they would be. They are everything, again, unfortunately for Cleveland fans, that Brad and I thought that they would be this year.
Right.
What do you think, man? Baltimore minus 10.5. I don't love those double-digit lays. What do you think, man?
I think that Baltimore is going to absolutely destroy Cleveland. I think they're going to dismantle them in every way, shape, and form, every possible way, from coaching to quarterback to line play to running back. I think it's just going to be seamless for them. And let's keep in mind that one of the most baffling victories of the year was Cleveland going into Baltimore and winning.
Right? Now, was that the game that I was at your house for? Were we watching?
That's the one. Because I remember, yeah, okay. We watched it. That's when Nick Chubb reeled off that 75-yarder, remember?
And yeah, and I was I was yelling that Nick Chubb is the best running back in the league, which I've been saying this now for 2 years. He's the best running back in the league, and you saw it on display that day. When Cleveland gives him the – it's the same thing for me with the Rams, who we'll talk about a little bit later, and Todd Gurley. When they give him the ball and make him the emphasis of the game, I just don't think there's any stopping him.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think a few things happened. I think maybe Baltimore, they were probably trying to figure themselves out still at that point, because remember, they didn't really – I don't think they really caught fire like this till like week 5 or 6. And then they just started blowing everybody away for like 7 or 8 straight weeks, right? And they're still on that pace.
Yeah.
And I think that they're really, really going to be ultra excited about beating the crap out of Cleveland.
Yes.
I mean, just more excited than any other week.
So I completely agree, Brad. I think Baltimore found their way. I'm going to look up. But I feel like their two losses were early in the season. I don't know how many games in a row they've won, but I know it's been quite a run. And this team, offensively, you know, they really lit up the Miami Dolphins to begin the season. But, you know, when you and I took in the games, I feel like that was like week – there you go. It was week 4 of the season. So it was still fresh. And I believe that was the last loss that Baltimore took. I'm going to look that up and confirm it while we're talking about it. But
it sounds right. Yeah.
Sounds right. Like right when they made that trade for Marcus Peters, this defense. So, you know, I play a ton of like fantasy football, daily fantasy and stuff. And this Baltimore defense has gotten better and better. And their ranking fantasy wise has improved. And their points per game given up has decreased, which means their defense has improved. This defense, all of a sudden, I look at it, I was thinking, the defense has given up a little bit too many points. Now I look at it, it's just like, wow, that net, I mean, fourth in the league points given up, first in the league points scored. The only other team that kind of challenges, there are two teams actually. So you have San Francisco, who we'll talk about in a bit. They're second in the league in points scored, fifth in the league in points given up. And then the New England Patriots are eighth in terms of points scored, which will surprise a lot of people, and first in points given up. So those three teams, and just in terms of net average of points, like net margin of victory, are a cut above everybody else in the league. And that's why I think Patriots, a lot of people are sleeping on them. Brad and I don't sleep on the Patriots. It's one of the rules of this podcast. And by the way, Brad, yes, that Cleveland game was the last loss. Baltimore beat Pittsburgh in overtime. So that was a close game, 26-23. They kind of slept through a Bengals victory, 23-17. Then they kind of beat up on the Seahawks by 14, and that's when you start to see the run. So it looked like week 7. Then they had the bye week. Then they played the Patriots after a bye week, destroyed the Patriots 37-20.
Yeah.
And then they've just been rolling through teams. Now, I thought last week, I took the game off my board, but I thought the Jets had a chance just because the Jets run defensively are better than they are, you know, pass defense. And obviously the Ravens want to run. So I thought, maybe. maybe it'll be a case where the Jets hang close and get a late touchdown. And I guess I wasn't far off. I think that line was 15, and then ended up margin ended up being 21. So you're talking about a garbage touchdown at the end of the game would have covered it, and that's exactly what I was afraid of. So that's why I stayed away. But yeah, man, Baltimore. Just to talk more about this game, Baltimore. Having been run through by Nick Chubb, who went for 165 yards and 3 touchdowns, I don't see that happening again. Baltimore's a young team. They'll want to play the revenge game a little bit more than maybe an older team. They have young energy. I love the leadership that I'm seeing from Lamar Jackson. The dude is like, I'm not going to say he's like Jordan-esque, because Jordan was on a whole other level how crazy he got to motivate himself, but he keeps the everybody in the game. So I'm with you, Brad. I don't like laying the points, but when you and I agree, and by the way, RoccoBot, who is better than both of us this season, my computer also picks Baltimore. When the three of us agree, I don't even have metrics on that, but when the two, me and you, Brad, agree, we're about 60%. I haven't been keeping track this year, but we were last year, and we were when we shut down the Pick 6 podcast, we were at 60% earlier this season, so I'm with it. Let me talk about Nick Chubb just a little bit before we move on to the next game, Brad. Nick Chubb, Brad, in 2 years, has a 5.2 yards per carry average, Brad. In two full seasons, 5.2. And so Kareem Hunt has come in and kind of eaten into some of the key snaps. When Nick Chubb gets over 20 carries, this team is way too competitive. The last 2 weeks, Brad, he's been over 7 yards a carry. Give him the ball. Give him the
ball.
That's
wild.
He went for 15 and 106 in the win against Cincinnati. He went for 17 and 127 in the loss to Arizona. Give him the ball. Get him the ball.
Well, okay. Dude. Yeah. Here's the problem, though, is when you have such big personalities at quarterback and wide receiver, like the biggest names on your team are those positions. You're gonna have a hard time selling the players, and you're gonna have a hard time selling management, and you're gonna have a hard time selling the fans that we need to be a power run team.
That's why I always thought Freddie Kitchens. Well, I shouldn't say this. This is why the jury was out on him for me. Is he needed to be that kind of head coach that could stand up to all that pressure and say, "Nope, this is what we're gonna be doing." And I didn't think he could, and we're seeing that he can't, in my opinion. But I'm hearing, Brad, that they're gonna bring him back. I believe Glazer might have reported that, that they're going to bring him back.
Something? I think they should bring him back, right? You want to know why? You want to know why? Because enough is enough already, right? Like, it clearly doesn't work to keep firing coaches after a year, after a year, after a year. Like, come on, man. Like, there's something to be said for a little bit of stability, right? All this renewal and renewal and renewal, it's no good. I'm not saying he's a great coach, but how do we even really know yet? Right? I mean, doesn't he deserve a little bit more of a sample size? 4 years?
So, I mean, there is definitely an argument to be made for stability. And Detroit is going to bring back Matt Patricia. And I think that's a stability move. And I think, you know, given the injuries that they had, this offense is good. I think, you know, keep them. I actually like Bevel's system in Detroit. I think there's something to be said for that. Kitchens, and I know Browns fans, you know, because they're still kind of shell-shocked from the season. A lot of times Browns fans, like, hate on my criticism of them. I actually do root for the Browns as a passing fan. I'm not a Browns fan, but I want the city of Cleveland to have a winner. I don't think Freddie Kitchens is a winner as a head coach. I just don't. So for me, it's like, okay, I've seen enough.
All right.
I've seen enough from a leadership and, you know, standing up to the organization. I've seen enough, okay? I think they should get rid of him, but I don't disagree with what you're saying in the spirit of what you're saying, Brad. Like, you know, like, if the Chargers keep Lynn for another season, I think that would be a mistake, but I wouldn't hate on them too much. I think the Browns need to get rid of Kitchens. That's my opinion. And what I would do...
Okay, I'm not disagreeing, right? So maybe the next guy they bring in, like, let that guy figure it out, and it takes more than a season, does it not? I mean, and the opposite can be true. You look at McCarthy when he was with Green Bay. Like, okay, it was so damn stable to the point where everything was so rigid and you needed a little bit of nuance and figuring it out. So he had to go because for the opposite reason.
Right.
I don't know, dude. I mean, I don't think Freddie Kitchens is the guy either, but I don't think we know that 100%. I know that 95%.
In my heart of hearts, Brad, I know it 100%. And I'll tell you what I would do if now, here's what worries me for Cleveland. I have actually a few friends that are big Cleveland Browns fans. And like I said, you know, I always have a soft spot for kind of the underdog, you know, and the city of Cleveland, you know, deserves, they're such great fans, in Cleveland, and they deserve a championship. And I don't think that this ownership structure will give them a championship. I think Haslam is a nut job. I think he's Dan Snyder 2.0. And what we're seeing, this is just reminds me so much of what I went through as a Redskins fan back in the 90s, in the late 90s, early 2000s. Too volatile, okay? Can't get the leadership in place, can't be patient. I liked what the Browns were doing initially. I loved what they were doing, stockpiling the picks. It's just that they weren't hitting the picks. And then they bring Glenn Dorsey in, and he trades all the picks away. I think that was an awful move. But, okay, so they have a talented roster. I think what they should do, and again, they're not going to do this, and I would say the same for Atlanta, who may bring Quinn back. We'll see, because they're responding really well at the second half of the year. In both of these instances, all of the young offensive minds are depleted. I think Eric Bieniemy out of Kansas City is probably the only offensive coordinator that will get a job offer this year. I think that I think that it's Mike Shanahan, I think, needs to get a job. I think he's in his 60s now. He's an old dude. But if you put him in Cleveland with Nick Chubb, the offensive line issues, he'll fix them because he does zone blocking. He takes unheralded guys and just makes a crazy good offensive line with his scheme. He got Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry. You get one possession receiver in there, and they might already have him on the roster in Rashard Higgins or something like that.
I think McCarthy's the guy for that town.
I think he'd be okay, and I think he would actually do really well in Cleveland. I think Cleveland would embrace him. And I think, by the way, Mike Shanahan would also just be a slam dunk in Atlanta if they did get rid of Quinn. You know, Matt Ryan knows the system because he was under Kyle Shanahan for a year or two, I think maybe 1 year. He would be a slam dunk hire, but everybody's like, oh, Shanahan's old. Shanahan has a system that works, okay? Like, Belichick's old, too. It's working okay there. So, I because of all these, like, the glut, you know, we saw it with the Packers hiring LaFleur. We saw it with the Bengals hiring Taylor. You know, all of the young guru offensive guys are gone, okay? It's depleted. They need to either go old or defense, and I personally don't like going head coaching defense. So that's why I would kind of go older to Mike Shanahan. He's going to be strong. He's going to stand up to the ownership. He has experience working under Snyder. But, you know, and I think Shanahan will take the job because I don't think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. I think that would be a slam dunk, and I think Cleveland would be in the playoffs next year. I really believe that. But it's not going to happen. It's more of a pipe dream for me.
Only team this decade without a winning record.
Oh my goodness.
Or sorry, a winning season.
A season. Oh, Cleveland. Poor Cleveland. They deserve better, as my phone alarm goes off. Looking for the best sports coverage on the web? Then check out the Dan Patrick Show on Podcast One Sportsnet. Join the sportscaster Monday through Friday as he covers the biggest games all year long with a whole bunch of A-list guests from the world of sports and entertainment. Download new episodes of the Dan Patrick Show every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. NFL, college football, and NBA action. It all continues to heat up with games this week that you're not going to want to miss out on. Visit our friends and exclusive partners of Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign up bonus. Now, there are a ton of games. I'm actually getting more and more into the NBA. I like, you know, always having enough data basically to use my stat prediction engines. I always wait usually until about December to make my picks, sometimes as early as November, but I'm into it now. Obviously, the NFL, you know, we're ending the last 2 weeks as we speak, and then we're into playoff stuff. I just can't wait to make more bets, especially on the NBA, because I'm getting into it. Look, the MLB is not even that far around the corner. We can start getting into futures. Everybody, just go ahead, visit betonline.ag. Don't forget to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, Brad, let's move to the next game. Let's see. We have Buffalo plus 6.5 at Kansas City. What do you think on that one? Just line.
Not Kansas City.
Sean. No, I'm playing. Right? I'm playing model volleyball. I'm just like trying to set you up, Brad, and then you're just doing one of these. All right. Our podcast audience is like, what is this guy doing? I'm posing. Buffalo plus 6.5 at New England, Brad.
Buffalo, baby, all day. Buffalo. That's the craziest thing I've ever said. Tell me.
Yeah, nah, man. Funny. Okay, so you, me, and Rocco Butt are all in Buffalo.
I think the spread is about 3 points too high. If you would have told me New England by 3, I would have said, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I think the spread's too high in this game. Now, I believe the Patriots won 17-10 the last time they played, but
I think it was 16-10. You might be right.
I think you're right because I think the spread was like 6.5 and I lost the bet. I believe you're right.
And Brad, I believe they got a special team score that game.
Mm-hmm. And I also believe
how they've won a few games this year.
Hey, I know. And New England's definitely the most resourceful team of the year. They block a punt every other game. I've never seen anything like it, really. You know what? You want to give a job to somebody? Give a job to New England's special teams coordinator. You know, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's an ex-special teams guy. Look out there. No, man, but New England, yeah. So I mentioned before, they give up 26.6 points per game. They give up 12.9 points per game. They score 26.6. That's a huge margin. Buffalo scores 20.8. That's not great. That's good for 22nd in the league. But they give up 15.9. That's good enough for 2nd in the league. So these are defensively the top two teams in the league in terms of points given up.
What's your over-under?
The over-under, I don't have that in front of me. I'll chase it for you. I would tend to bet the under on it. Hold on, let me pull up the odds here.
Well, you would unless the over-under was 32.
Yeah, I know. And it's got to – I would not be shocked if the over-under here was like 38. So let me see if it somehow creeps. If it's in the 40s, I definitely take the under. I bet you – I would guess that it's – what do you think it is, Brad? This is fun. I bet you the over-under is –
I bet it's 35.5.
I was going to say 37.5. Let's see here. Over under. Of course, I picked the spread that doesn't have it. I'll find it. To be continued. Let's talk a little bit more about the game. Oh, by the way, the Saturday games, it's Houston, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, New England, and Rams versus San Francisco. Nice slate. Nice slate on Saturday.
Yeah, I like that.
So when I said I know for a fact that Baltimore-Cleveland was a Saturday game, I was completely full of it, as I usually am. But anyway, I think it's going to be a close game. I'll find the over-under.
I think that here, I think this game has bigger implications than maybe people assume, right? So the Patriots have been on the downslide recently, right? They have no offense. The thing's coming unraveled. And they've been winning lucky or special teams. You really shouldn't be winning that way, right? So if Buffalo can go in there, like New England, it's in New England, correct? Before I keep speaking?
Yes. Yep.
If Buffalo goes in there and wins a game in December, I think it says more than just the game, right? Because New England does not lose these games.
You're right.
They do not.
This is a big one, too. 15 years. This is going to be the first time in a decade that a team, especially this late in the season, could equal their record. New England would fall to 11-4, Buffalo would increase to 11-4. I believe New England would still have the division based on other tiebreakers. I believe that. I haven't confirmed that. By the way, I did find the over under, Brad, 37.5. How do you like that? I hit it right on the head.
Oh, boom. Good for you.
Yeah, I still take the under on that, though. I do.
Yeah. Slow clap. Me too. I mean, I think Edelman is going to have a bit. Oh, man. They're going to light that guy up. He's going to have quite the day, buddy.
This is, man, and I got to say, McDermott, if you're talking about defensive coaches, I like what McDermott's done. He's one of those guys that I think, you know, really does value offense. And Dan Quinn was this way in Atlanta. That's why I'm not as down on Dan Quinn. Now, their defense in Atlanta sucks so bad that he deserves a lot of criticism, but he's also, his defense has been super injured the last couple of years, and they haven't gotten, our baseball llama, our friend Eric, Brett, is a big Atlanta fan. He's always railing that this team cannot find a pass rusher in the draft or in free agency to save their lives. So, and I trust him. This team does play with a lot of speed and energy, but what I'm trying to say about McDermott, though, is, you know, Brian Daboll, I like him as an offensive coordinator. What we're seeing in Buffalo is a very special defense, which I don't think either one of us are surprised by, Brad, but Josh Allen is a little bit better than we thought he would be this year. He's moved forward in his development as a quarterback. And we talked, I think, last week, you know, that game that Buffalo had against Baltimore, they had opportunities. Like, if Josh Allen was maybe 5 years more progressed in the league, he would have forced that game into overtime. He had opportunities. He was just, you know, got blitzed. He was, you know, Baltimore's defense was playing rowdy that day. But, you know, what I'm saying is, Buffalo and New England, they're closer, I think, than people think. Buffalo, by the way, in terms of futures, I think Bovada has them at, like, I don't know, like, like 3,000 or something like that to win the Super Bowl, like the worst odds. With a defense like that and a running game, I think you gotta, and at this late in the season when you know they're going to be in the playoffs, I think you gotta be at least in the 2,000s there to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
No respect there. Houston's another team that I've been talking, Brad, you know, I've been talking about Will Fuller kind of being the difference maker on this offense. Obviously, everything runs through Deshaun Watson. I'm not saying that, and DeAndre Hopkins. But when they have Will Fuller in the lineup, it makes that team a little bit more vertical, and it opens things up for what they want to do offensively. I did go back and look. They're 7-2 this season when Will Fuller plays a full game. So most of their losses come when Will Fuller's out of the lineup, which was my theory. They give great value. I love Houston as a futures bet because Deshaun Watson is a guy that can win a Super Bowl if his team is full strength, and they might be getting J.J. Watt back any week now as well. That's an interesting team in the playoffs. With Will Fuller, they beat New England. Without Will Fuller, they got trounced by Baltimore. It could be interesting. Now, Baltimore still is my favorite at this point, along with New England and I, in my opinion, San Francisco. But I don't know. What are you thinking for Super Bowl right now?
You know, I have a hard time picking against Russell Wilson. You know?
Oh, yeah, fair. Weirdest stat. I was going through the games, like my analytics stuff. Seattle's margin of victory, so they score 26.5 points a game. They give up 24.6. Their margin of victory is like 1.9. I don't even know how that's possible. They're 11-3 right now. Yeah. Like,
have you ever looked at Green Bay's? Their margin of victory might be in the negative.
No,
It's not.
I looked because that was my first question. They're actually over 3 points margin of victory. Now, their yards per play is a lot worse than that. But Seattle's all Russell Wilson. I'm telling you, you look at this as a better, as an analyst and everything. It's like Seattle really shouldn't be winning these games, but they have Russell Wilson. Very interesting. But that's a story for another day. Back to Buffalo, New England. Not to get too far off topic. Yeah, man, I'm with you. 3 points. I feel like this is a three-point game. I think it's a low-scoring game. I actually have New England winning the game 16-13. I think it's a three-point game, just like you do. If Buffalo wins,
don't get me wrong. I mean, I think New England wins, right? But maybe Buffalo, they come in there and take this one, and that would be huge.
That would be huge, and it's all about Josh Allen. And we know the Belichick record. You know, when he plays a quarterback for a second time in a season. So you know, we'll see. Brad, let's move into the next game. We're getting a little long in the tooth here. We're in a half hour in here. San Francisco, another Saturday game. We got the LA Rams versus the San Francisco 49ers. Games in San Francisco. The spread, San Francisco -6.5. Not a full touchdown. What do you think, man?
I think San Francisco takes that and covers that, man. I don't know what it is, but I found myself completely annoyed by the Rams.
Me too. The Rams, in my primary league, I ended up with Jared Goff and Todd Gurley at really good value, I thought. And what I projected coming into the season was I believed that Gurley was healthy and that that he was going to have a great season. And then because Gurley's having a great season, Goff's going to have a great season. I had all these visions of Jared Goff throwing screen passes to Todd Gurley and us getting a lot of touchdowns and all that. And what ended up happening is McVay just is – I'm telling you, every time he looks in the mirror, he sees Bill Belichick behind him in a horror movie. He was broken by Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl and by that Todd Gurley injury to end the season. I think he needs an offseason of soul searching. Sean McVay, look, I like McVay. I'm not a hater of McVay. I'm actually a fan of McVay, but you got to give criticism where it's deserved. You know, if you're being honest, I know Rams fans are going to defend their guy, but this is Sean McVay's fault. This whole season, there's no reason the Rams should not have been back in the playoffs. No reason. And when they give the ball to McVay, when McVay gives the ball to Gurley, they win, and when they don't, they lose. And anybody who saw the highlights against Seattle on Sunday Night Football, you see the juice that Gurley still has. I get people in these videos saying, "No, he's shot." No, I don't buy that. I watch the games, just like everybody else does. I know the narrative out there is that he's shot. I know that's what people are saying. I'm sorry, people inside the building say Gurley's just fine. And when I see him on tape, he still has spring in his step. He's not a shot fighter like Colin Cowherd says. Colin Cowherd's a busy guy. He's not watching the games. I promise you that. I'm watching all these games because I don't have anything better to do. He's fine. And so I'm actually pretty livid because I actually like the Rams. I like their brand of football when they play their brand of football. And they strayed from that this season. Shame on McVay because that's where the buck stops for me. Brad.
Do you want me to retort?
No. Do you want? I know fancy French words. The model volleyball says retort.
Au contraire.
Au contraire.
I can't stand McVay all of a sudden. I can't stand Jared Goff. And I don't know what it is. It's like,
I know exactly,
come on, dude.
I know exactly what it is. Jared Goff looks a little bit too much like Ryan Gosling.
Yes, thank you for that. I'm glad someone else finally thought that.
Yeah.
You know, so he's basically. I watched the games like this.
Yeah.
And then he did.
So there's that, and nobody can deal with the half beard of Sean McVay. It's like, it's so clean on the neck. It's so clean up here. Are you growing the beard? Do you just want it like a third
it's
of
driving
an
me? Yeah, it's driving me crazy.
It's and like the longest beard grow that I've ever seen. Are you growing it out or are you not, Sean McVay?
Yeah,
wearing those tight
jeans.
And
the fact that
the
guy's like 7 years younger than me and far, far more successful than I'll ever be really chaps my ass.
Sean McVay. Yeah, I don't know, I haven't seen in a while, but his love life, like he's dating like a model or something like that. Of course, he's in Los Angeles on a hilltop mansion. Now,
I don't understand men like this. If I go into a car dealership, I get terrified. As soon as the salesman tries to work me, I'm out of there. And this guy is running a branch, right? Like, I can't do it.
Is that how you ended up with is that how you ended up with your little red convertible? Is like the sales guy was coming up and that was the car that was right next to you? I'll take this one.
I can't do stuff like that. I just can't. And this guy's the coach of 52 other gigantic millionaires. And tells them what to do. I don't understand people like this.
And they all listen to him, too.
They listen to him.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm 5'8". I told this story earlier in the season, D. I went to the Hall of Fame. I went to the Midwest Fantasy Football Expo, which is a cool conference. If you're in the area, like the Canton or Cleveland area, I would say go. Just Cleveland fans, don't beat me up too bad because I actually do like the Browns. Yeah, I went to the Hall of Fame and I saw Reggie White's jersey, and like I could cut that jersey into pieces and wallpaper my entire wall with it. It was big. And Bruce Smith, it was so big. And I used to think to myself, like with the, you know, you see like Tariq Cohen, he's shorter than me. He's pretty good for the Bears and all that. I used to think, you know, maybe I could have played in the NFL if I really, because I would have been like a pretty good slot receiver. You know, I was pretty talented and all that stuff. I was pretty quick when I was younger. And then I went to the Hall of Fame and I saw the jerseys and I thought, I'm not running a slant over the middle and having freaking Ray Lewis put a shoulder pad into my chest. I don't think I'd get up. I don't.
No, you probably don't. That's wild. I mean, Edelman, like that guy's rowdy, dude. Like,
it's just a whole other level, man. And Edelman, mark my words, like I don't think like he'll put up the stats or the career that's deserving of being a Hall of Famer. But when you look back after he retires, he'll have been with the second Patriots dynasty, 3 rings, I believe, for him. Key player in at least one of those, maybe two. And or maybe there was one he might have had his ACL torn. Forgive me, I can't remember, but he'll be a veterans committee at worst entrance into the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer thanks to his being a key player on that Patriots team, you know. So good for Edelman, I guess. But we're talking Rams and 49ers, though, so let's get back there. Yeah, I just – at this point, I don't see why the Rams I know mathematically they're still in the playoff chase, Brad, but I don't see why the Rams would play Gurley at this point. You know, they've been basically protecting him and going away from him all season. They're all, for all intents and purposes, done. I think at this point, you know, they might try to give you one valiant effort at the end of the season, but San Francisco coming off that loss to Atlanta, I don't see them, and they handled the Rams early in the year. I don't love that Sherman's out, but I don't see the 49ers having much of an issue in this game. I really don't. Rocobot agrees, by the way. I agree. You agree, Rocobot. There's a consensus there. Second, actually third. We're 3-3 for that, which is very rare that the robot actually agrees with us, Brad. So, yeah, I'm a 49ers, man. That's one of my bets of the week for sure. Let's see. Next game, we're going to talk about Dallas -3 at Philly, Brad. Big one for the NFC East, obviously. I don't talk a lot of NFC East. Having grown up as a Redskins fan, I'm not a Redskins fan anymore. But I'm not talking NFC East because I'm bitter. I'm not talking NFC East because they suck this year. But what do you think about this game, Brad? Dallas -3 at Philly.
I think Philly wins for sure. I don't know what's going to lead us to think otherwise. I think that I know that the wide receiver core for Philly is decimated, and I get that, but they're at home. Dallas is average at best, but they have a star on their helmet, so it's like, I don't know. They're the only team I know that could carry over a reputation from 1992. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
You know, like they're Cleveland plus one. They're so average. You know who they're like? They're Tampa Bay. You know, they're Detroit, but we don't view them that way.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, you know, it's interesting. So you look at their season accumulation, they score 27 a game, they give up 20.6 a game. Those are actually pretty decent numbers, but the 27 is kind of a weird stat because they don't do that against the top teams. Right. You know,
they're just an average team.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
I lost that. For the fourth game, we didn't plan it this way, but for the fourth game, Rockobot, you and I are consensus. We think Philadelphia not only covers but wins the game. I don't see – like, I know that the Philadelphia Eagles, their receivers are all banged up. I don't think the Eagles are Super Bowl threats because of that. They don't have any vertical component. But Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz kind of playing the possession receiver game. If Nelson Aguilar can catch even 50% of his passes, which is about his average, they'll be okay. I think Philadelphia wins this game. I just think they got the juice. They'll probably be able to take Ezekiel Elliott out of the game. Relatively early that run defense, and so they're gonna have to go vertical. Dak Prescott, to me, doesn't use his legs and move the pocket enough. Like, he's an athletic guy. I wish he used a little bit more of his athleticism in his game because they are better when he does that, but he doesn't really want to do that, and Dallas doesn't seem to want him to do that, so it is what it is. But not to say he's not a pocket passer. I just think that when you have, like Aaron Rodgers, it's not like I wouldn't say he's a pocket passer. He is. But when he uses his athleticism, that's what makes him special. And I think, you know, Dak Prescott is doing himself a disservice by not doing that. But Brad, we're kind of running out of time here. So I'm just going to move to next game. We agree. Philadelphia for sure.
Okay.
Kansas City. -5.5. This is the first game we disagree on. Kansas City -5.5 at Chicago. Brad, what are your thoughts on this one?
I took Chicago, did I not?
You did.
Yeah, I think, you know, as being 5.5-point underdogs, I think Chicago has a style of play that lends itself very well to losing closely.
Mm.
And I think, you know, and I think the only reason they're losing closely as opposed to winning is because of the quarterback. But he is just good enough to make a few plays to keep them involved and in it.
Mm.
I think their defense is more than capable of corralling Patrick Mahomes as a whole. I think that the Bears, I think that they lose the game, but I think they cover while they lose.
Yeah, I do think that they lose. And I know Trubisky, because we give him a lot of heat on this show, so I'll give credit where credit is due here. Trubisky has been playing a lot better. I'm not even going to call him Turd Biscuit this episode, because he has been playing a lot better. Using his legs a little bit more. Anthony Miller. I feel like since Taylor Gabriel got hurt there and they've had to rely a little bit more on Anthony Miller, they've been a lot better. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So Taylor Gabriel might be back this week. I'm not sure. I think he was questionable last time I looked. And if Gabriel comes back, I don't like Miller as much. But I got to say, you know, Kansas City, this is the first game we disagree on. I'm taking Kansas City. Rockobot also takes Kansas City as well. I think Kansas City's defense is playing so much better. Similar to how Baltimore, right in the middle of the season, their defense started getting incrementally better. I think we're seeing this later in the season with Kansas City. So I think actually Kansas City's actually peaking at the right time. I think the offense is getting right. Mm. What worries me about Kansas City, as always, is that running game. They just can't figure that out. I thought that they would have had that figured out. And so I don't like a team going into the playoffs with a weakness like that. You know, Baltimore, what is their weakness? You could make the argument that Lamar Jackson isn't a pure thrower, but you look up and he'll have 150 yards passing, 150 yards running, 5 passing touchdowns, and a running touchdown. That's good enough to win a Super Bowl, right? Kansas City, I feel like, at some point, maybe if they square off against New England again, they're going to need that running game. And whether it's Darwin Thompson or LeSean McCoy or Damian Williams, if he's back, or any of these guys, they need to get like 4 or 5 yards per rush carrier. They need to fix that. That to me is a mortal wound as you go into the playoffs. Although I do think Kansas City's getting better, I'm worried. But I still think they're a Super Bowl capable team. Don't get me wrong. I think they're very, very good. Last game, Brad, we'll talk about Green Bay +4.5 at Minnesota. You and I also disagree on this. Tell me why. Everybody knows you're a Packers fan. You got the Packers helmet in the background there for our video audience. Why are the Packers going to win this game?
You know, it does seem crazy, but I have a feel that they're finally going to they're going to put one together and they're going to play a real complete game one of these weeks.
Yeah.
I think that they're so close, man, and they're like these two or three plays away from, I'm telling you, Sean,
yeah,
they're always two or three plays away or a drop pass or something like that from beating a team by 17.
Sure.
As opposed, you know, like they keep and that's like all they're missing is like
just a little bit. I trust the Packers certainly better than I do, and I like watching the Packers and all that, but my concern for them, and I think you share this concern, is they don't have a second receiver opposite Davante Adams. And we
100%,
thought it,
and yeah, that is a concern for sure.
So that to me is Green Bay. We were just talking about Kansas City's mortal wound going into the playoffs is their lack of running game. Green Bay's is lack of opposite receiver.
It's terrible.
So clever and good defenses can you know, maybe roll double cover, like a very talented defense, what can double cover Davante Adams, take him out and play man-to-man on the other ones, like Geronimo Allison, Valdez Scantling, Kumaro. None of those guys can do it. When I watch the Packers, I think Alan Lazard's the guy. Put him opposite, he might not be the fastest guy, might not be the best route runner, but he makes plays. Put him on the opposite side, throw deep to him, it'll open things up for Davante Adams, but they don't do that. And maybe they'll save it for the playoffs. I don't know. Minnesota for me right now is playing better than Green Bay. I think
they're a better roster. I agree with that.
Yeah, I understand. I think of what I'm hearing, you know, what you say is, you know, Green Bay is close and you think that this is the game they'll string it together. But if you were an objective audience, you could see that Minnesota probably should be the favorite here.
Yes. I don't disagree with that. I don't.
Yeah, and I just think Minnesota, what concerns me for them, obviously, is I don't know at this point, at the time of this recording, I don't know the status on Dalvin Cook's health. I don't know the status of Alexander Mattison's health. If they have Boone running the ball, I know Thielen's back, and that's a big deal. But if it's going to be Kirk Cousins throwing to Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph and them trying to run the ball with Boone, I don't love it as much. Now, if Dalvin Cook can play, I think this team's better. But, you know, frankly, if I'm Minnesota, I don't know that I would play Dalvin Cook. I think it's more important to have a healthy Dalvin Cook in the playoffs than it is to and I know they haven't clinched yet, but then it is to win the division. I don't know. I know this is a huge game, but if Dalvin Cook's at 75%, I rest him, dude. I really do. And I take my chances with the other guys. Maybe I dress him and only play him in a super emergency. But, you know, I go to the defense and say, you guys need to step up this week. You know, you need to stop that run and you need to bottle up Davante Adams and we'll have a really good shot at eking one out here. So, you know, certainly one for argument. I think these are two fantastic teams. Got 11-3 versus 10-4, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of record.
I believe so.
Good. Going to be a nice one, man. Going to be a nice one. So, hey, that takes me through the episode. I know we're kind of ending abruptly here, but you know, we got stuff to do, right? So, we'll check us out, you know, another episode as always, everybody. And, you know, we appreciate everybody's support. And I guess, you know, for our podcast audience here, we're going to go ahead and close this this episode out with a little Get Paid rap, our custom rap that we had made, which we really like. So go out, make some bets, get paid.
You want to get paid, then get paid. Sean and Brad help you with the games. From the fantasy to the gambling, we the NFL experts help you win. You better tune in for the two hosts. They know everything from the players to the coaches. So get paid on a Sunday, because the team right here know the game the most. From Chi-Town to the Florida coast, got swag, got butter with the toast. Brad's a washed-up model, don't hate on that. Sean writes the fantasy football almanac. So quit that losing time to win. We talk fantasy or real, whatever you win. You're going to wish this podcast never end. Now get ready for the best show to begin. Let's go.